Thank you, Brother Eddie, for singing for us. I pulled up in the parking lot, and I saw Miss Becky sitting in the car, and I thought to myself, that means that Brother Eddie's going to sing for us tonight. So I was excited for that. It's good to see y'all here tonight. I want to thank Pastor Wayne for asking me to speak tonight. When he asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, might have been a week and a half ago, I thought in my mind, I said, we're coming into Thanksgiving season, coming into Christmas, and I thought, well, I'll see if I can't speak about blessings. Well, as I tried to put a message together on blessings, I couldn't put one together, so it told me the Lord was leading me in a different direction. So we're going to take a look at gifts tonight, which is kind of fitting going into the Christmas season. But let me start off with an illustration I came across this week that I thought was pretty humorous. I'll share with you. Four brothers left home for college and became successful doctors and lawyers. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together, and they discussed the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. The first said, I had a big house built for Mama. The second one said, I had a $100,000 theater built into the house that you had built. The third said, well, I had a Mercedes dealer deliver an SL600 to her to park in the garage that you built. The fourth one said, you know how Mama loved reading the Bible, and you know she can't read anymore because she can't see very well. I met this preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. He said it took 20 years, 12 preachers to teach him. And in order to get the parrot, I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 for the next 20 years to the church. But it was well worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. The other brothers were impressed. Shortly afterwards, their mother sent out her thank you notes, and she wrote, Milton, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Michael, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing. I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. But thank you for the gesture just the same. Marvin, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I'd never use the Mercedes. The thought was good, though. Thank you. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. Somehow it appears that this mother would have preferred for her sons to give her a little bit of themselves. That is so true as we enter into the season. That leads me into introduction of the message I put together tonight. By show of hands, how many of you enjoy receiving gifts? The vast majority of us enjoy receiving gifts. How many of you enjoy giving gifts? The vast majority of us enjoy giving gifts. As I have gotten older, as I've matured, although my maturity is questionable at times, I have begun enjoying being a gift giver as opposed to being a gift receiver. I enjoy giving as opposed to receiving. I enjoy seeing the smile on someone's face when I'm able to give them something. I'm prayerful that my gift will be a blessing to that person. Are gifts always material things? No. Do gifts always have to be something that can be held and can be touched? Gifts can come in many different forms, shapes, sizes. A gift can be something tangible, like an article of clothing. It could be a gift card to your favorite restaurant or to a local department store. It could be a new shirt. It could be any other type of material item. It could be a pocket knife. It could be a tool. It could be some dishes. It could be various items. It can also be time spent with a loved one. It can be as simple as holding one's hand. There are numerous possibilities. The greatest gift you can give someone is your unconditional love. How do we go about receiving gifts? That's something to think about. How do we go about receiving gifts? We can ask, but most of us receive gifts at our birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, when a new child comes, when you get married. We may also receive gifts as a thank you for something that we have done for someone else. How many of you go around asking people for gifts? I don't see any hands being raised. We don't. We generally don't go around asking people to give me a gift. I may joke around with my family about giving me a gift, but I do not make it a practice of going around asking for gifts. I don't think any of us do. In tonight's passage, we're going to learn about asking God for gifts and how he goes about giving those gifts. There is one person you can't ask for a gift, and he will bless you with that. Tonight's passage is found within the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is when Jesus started preaching from a mountainside in front of a large crowd very early in his ministry. This sermon found in Matthew includes some of the most well-known teachings of Christ. It includes the Beatitudes, includes the Lord's Prayer. Tonight we're going to take a look at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. And I'll title tonight's message, Keep Asking, Keep Seeking, Keep Knocking. I'm going to read verses 7 through 12, and then we'll go back into the sections that I have. But let me start off in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who he seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. To start off with, the first section I'm going to title it is Be Willing to Ask, Seek, and Knock. And we're going to take a look at the first two verses I read tonight, verses 7 and 8. And I will reread those now. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So right out of the gate in verse 7, we're given three specific ways to request gifts of God. Three specific ways Christ tells us to ask and receive gifts from God, to request gifts. The first one is ask. We are to simply ask God for his blessings. Now that goes against the way that we were raised. Our parents told us you don't ask for anything unless it's a dire need in your situation. You got to need something, but you typically are instructed you don't ask. But here, the Lord tells us we are to simply ask God for his blessing. Merriam-Webster defines the word ask as to call for an answer, to make a request of, to call for, to require. Secondly, we're told to seek. And seek is defined as to go in search of, to try to discover, to ask for. When you seek something, what are you doing? You're being intentional. You have something on your mind. You have something specific that you're going to go look for. So you're seeking something specific about. You don't just aimlessly go out seeking for something. Seeking means you have a direct purpose. You're intentional in what you're doing. You're not haphazard about it. You have a specific task at hand. So in the context that we're taking a look at here, you have a specific request, a specific need, a specific gift or blessing in mind that you're asking for, and you're seeking that out. Lastly, knock. What does it mean to knock? It means to rap against something, to pound something. It means to strike something with a sharp blow, to collide with something, to make a pounding noise is what it means to knock. We're all familiar with what that means to knock. When we go to somebody's home, we knock on the door. At least I do. They might have a doorbell, but I don't know about you, but half the doorbells I've come across don't work. So I always knock, even if there's a doorbell. Why do we knock? Why, when you go to someone's home, why do you knock on the door? Because you want him to be invited in. You want him to let them know that you're there. You want him to make them aware of something. But I'll ask the question again, why do we knock? We knock because we want something, but we want permission first. We want permission first. Probably the only houses I don't knock before I go in is my mother-in-law's house, my parents' house, and my home. But everybody else's house, I knock before I go in because I'm wanting permission to come in. So our instructions are clear in these first two verses. We're supposed to ask, we're supposed to seek, and we're supposed to knock. Pretty simple instructions, aren't they? As parents, we've taught our children to be polite and not to ask people for things. If there's a need, that's different. But generally, we are taught not to ask. But however, our Lord's telling us to ask in these two verses. Jesus has a different perspective in this verse. He is telling us to ask. He is giving us permission to ask, giving us permission to seek, giving us permission to knock. Jesus is telling us that there's gifts available. We just must ask for them, seek them, and knock on the door. The question I came up with or thought about, does God automatically give us gifts at times? He may. He may give us a blessing looking out for us. Once you understand God's providence in your life, it makes life a lot easier. I don't know sometimes what to ask for, but the Lord knows what to give me. So at times he does automatically give me a blessing, give me a gift, give me a guidance. But we are instructed to be active participants in the blessings that God bestows upon us. How do we participate in the process? Well, we participate in the process of asking, seeking, and knocking. You may say, Brother John, well, how do we ask? How do we seek? How do we knock? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because the answer is through a daily quiet time of prayer and reading God's Word. God does not audibly speak to us. We don't hear a voice coming down our head. Now, can God do it? Absolutely. But he does not do that no longer. God speaks to us through your quiet time, your personal prayer life with Him, and through the reading of God's Word. Every answer you ever seek in life, you will find in God's Word. Principles, precepts, stories, illustrations are all going to be in God's Word. That's how we're to ask, that's how we're to seek, and that's how God wants us to knock. Verse 8 goes on to tell us that those who ask will receive. The one who seeks will find. The one who knocks will have the door opened. It's simple. It's cut and dry. These verses are so straightforward. I've read this several times before, but never really studied it in the manner in which I have this past week. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Leads us into the next part. Be willing to accept. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Let me read those verses for us. 9 through 11. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Be willing to accept. Can you receive a gift from someone and not accept it? You can't receive it. Somebody can try to offer you something, but you've got to be willing to accept that gift. You've got to be able to be willing to accept what they're giving to you. Verses 9 and 10, the basic needs of life are mentioned. What do we all need to survive? We need nourishment. We need, food. We need water. Bread and fish were the basic dietary requirements and staples in the culture in which this was written. Without bread and fish, no one could survive. That's how they got their nutrients. That's how they sustained their daily lives. If a child asked for basic necessities in life, who among us would not try to provide those items for them? None of us, under the sound of my voice, I believe, would deprive a child of stuff that they need. Or a fellow brother or sister in Christ, or a family member. We would not deprive them. We would all try to meet the basic needs. If a child asked me for food, I would definitely not give them something harmful. I would give them something that would be nutritious, something that would be helpful for them, something that will help their diet, that will help them grow strong and be nourished. If they asked for bread, I definitely would not give them a stone. Can you eat a stone? You can't eat a stone. It'll break your teeth. It won't digest. It'll cause you problems. So I would not give a child a stone if they asked for bread. If they asked for fish, I couldn't imagine giving them a snake. Could you? Somebody comes and asks you for a piece of fish and you go and get them a piece of snake or a snake. That being said, I have tried a rattlesnake before and I don't care to try it again. Not that I thought it tasted bad, but it was probably 30 years ago when I did, and I just don't have a desire to do it again. But no, we would not give somebody something dangerous if they asked for some type of nourishment. As adults, we are responsible for the welfare of the children around us. We would want to give them something that we would not want to give them something that they could harm themselves with. And we know that. None of us would disagree with that statement. As I mentioned in the introduction, as I've gotten older, I've begun enjoying the act of giving gifts as opposed to receiving them. You can ask my wife, you can ask my daughter. I love to surprise them with stuff. It could be something as simple as us going to a little field trip somewhere. And I just love the surprise. I love seeing the smile on their face whenever I do something. I take joy in giving and putting a smile on someone's face. I really enjoy that. How about you? Where do you fall in this area? Are you one of those that's always asking? Or are you one of the ones that's trying to give? And there again, I mentioned earlier, gifts to others does not have to be material items. It could be your time. I remember several years ago, we were at a sister church in the association. In our Sunday school class, we went through the five love languages. Most of you are very familiar with that, and there's different. We all have different personalities, different things that we respond to. One love language is quality time. That's my wife's spiritual gift. She loves quality time, so I do my best to try to spend quality time with my wife. And I'd encourage you husbands to do the same thing with your wives. Wives, try to do the same thing with your husbands. Some of it's gifts. Some people's gifts is touch. I can't remember all five of them, but those are three that jump out at me. But try to spend quality time with each other, because a gift does not have to be anything material. It can be just simply your time. It could be you just listening. Just listen to someone. There's a book we're all familiar with, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Early on in my career, I'm in sales. Early on in my career, my first sales manager told me I needed to read that book. And that's been 23 years ago, and I read that book. And since that time, I've already read it three or four times. Well, I'm going through rereading it now. I'm rereading that book now, and I think today it's kind of funny, because today the chapter I read pertains to verse 12 that we're looking at tonight. But one of the things is just listen. Just listen to others. Let them talk. I got off track there for a moment. I apologize. But in verse 11, Jesus asked a simple but deep question. If us being sinners, and we all know that we're sinners, none of us live a perfect life, if us as sinners know how to give a good gift to a child, how much more will God give good things to those who ask? If us being sinners, being sons and daughters of Adam, know how to give good gifts, don't you think our Father in heaven knows how to give us good gifts? God is perfect in every way. He's holy. He's loving. He's generous. He's providing. Most importantly, he's wise. If we humble ourselves and ask, seek, and knock, God will give us the gifts that we need. Notice I said the gifts that we need, not all of our wants. How many remember that as a child? Your parents provided your needs. They didn't provide all your wants. They wanted to provide some of the wants, but sometimes they just couldn't. Looking back on my life, I'm now 45 years old. I'm thankful that God didn't give me some of the things that I wanted. Maybe he did not give me that particular job, or give me that home, or give me this, or give me that, because he knew I would not know how to handle it. That's one thing to truly think about. God has blessed me. He's blessed me and my wife. He's blessed my family. He's blessed my extended family. But he's not given me all of my wants. Jesus is not talking about desires of the flesh, such as a large home, powerful job, money, good looks. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we need to look at this passage in that context. So let me read a couple of verses here. I'm going to turn back to chapter 5, verse 3, and it ties along with what I said in regards to Jesus is not talking about desires of the flesh. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 6 of chapter 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That ties right in with ask, seek, and knock. Blessed are those who thirst for the things of God. Verse 48 of the same chapter reads as this, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, what kind of perfection are they talking about there? Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? Everything will be flawless? No. Just talking about as you continue to perfect in your Christian walk and your Christian maturity. We should strive for perfection every day. I'll give you a little secret. None of us can reach perfection every day. No one here can reach perfection. But that should not stop us from putting forth our best effort each and every day. Chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We only have one God in our life. We can't serve both God and money. And what have we learned through Sunday school, through the studies we've gone through, and what our pastor said up here from the pulpit before? Anything that comes between you and your worship of God, anything that comes between you and your love of God, has become another idol in your life, has become a hindrance to your walk. So you can only serve one God. You can't serve both God and money. Verse 33 of chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see a theme there, what that verse says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. We are to seek God and his righteousness above all else. God's blessing cannot be measured by the standards of this world. They must be measured by God's standards. The simple fact is that God wants to bless us, and he is best at determining what our needs are. How many of those remember children when they were younger? You might have been the same way. When you're 7 or 8 years old, you wanted to eat ice cream all the time. You wanted to eat candy all the time. You had one particular food that you just loved and that you wanted to eat all the time. What did your parents do? They prevented you from doing that because they knew what was best for you. Well, that carries right over into our Heavenly Father. We may have a desire for a certain area or a certain thing in our life, but he knows what's best for us, and he will hinder us from that. He'll have our best interests at heart. We're all guilty of asking God for the wrong thing at times. It may not be part of God's will. It might not be part of God's plan. It might not be part of God's providence. But we've got to understand that God won't always give us what we ask for. We need to trust him to provide what's best. Not getting into politics, but I'll just be up front and straightforward with you. I was not happy with the elections that we had a couple weeks ago, the results. I was surprised by them, looking at the data that I've looked at. But you know what? God wasn't surprised by any of it. God has a plan in everything that he orchestrates in our life, in your life, my life, the life of America, the life of Israel, the life of China. God has all that orchestrated. He knows what's best. With him knowing what's best, then we need to be willing to accept the gift that he gives. Be willing to accept the gift that he gives. The last verse we're going to take a look at that next, I've titled the section, Be Willing to Serve as an example. Remember to start off with, I said for us to ask, seek, knock. Then we got to be willing to accept. Well, now we got to be willing to serve as an example. What does it mean to be an example of something? It means to put forth an act or a characteristics or respond in a way that you want others to respond as well. So we'll take a look at verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Many folks refer to this verse as being the golden rule. We all know, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you, as you would have them do unto you. We've been taught this rule from the time we were toddlers all the way up through adulthood. We teach this to young children when they're in the nursery, when they're creeping with the creepers, they're crawling around. We teach them not to snatch, not to say mine. We teach them to share, to treat others with respect and with love and with kindness. We are called to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We are to forgive in the same manner as we want to be forgiven. That's a tough one sometimes. Somebody hurts you. Somebody says something that's not very nice. Something's taken out of context, and you don't understand what's being said by it, and it hurts your feelings. Are you quick to forgive? Well, something I've learned, I try to turn the tables around. What if I was in that same situation? As I mentioned a few moments ago, I'm in business. I'm in sales. I manage a team of outside salesmen. My favorite way to communicate with my customers and with my sales staff is either by email or by text message. You may say, well, why do you want to do that? Because I'm getting older, first and foremost. I got to have reminders. I go back And just for so you'll know, on my email, everything stays in my inbox until it's taken care of. If I keep my inbox below 20 emails, I'm doing really good. If it gets up to 40 or 50, I need to do some catch up. But everything stays in my inbox until I have it addressed. So that's why I like to communicate by email and text messages. However, what's one thing you cannot see in the email, one thing you cannot see in the text message? You can't see the smile on my face when I'm texting it. You can't know what I'm in the middle of. You don't know how busy I am. I may give you a quick one-word response. We may think I'm being rude. How many of you have ever received a text message or email in all caps? What's the first thing you think when somebody sends you an email in all caps? You think they're yelling at you. You think they're not happy with you. You think that they're mad. Well, I'll give you a little hint. If you ever get an email from me, from my email at work, and it's in all caps, remember, our point of sale system, I have to type in all caps, and sometimes I'm too lazy to hit the caps lock button to turn it off. So just keep that in mind. But what I'm saying there is we've got to put ourselves in somebody else's situation. We've got to be cautious before we just jump off the handle and get mad at somebody. We need to take a look at something from their perspective, because we would expect them to do the same thing to us. We got to be just as quick to forgive as we're asking somebody to forgive us. Now, that being said, you can forgive. You don't necessarily have to forget. Protect yourself. If somebody's doing the same thing over and over and over, forgive them, but don't forget what they've done. Protect yourself and don't put you in a situation where they could help you. We are to show grace in the same manner as we want grace to be shown to us. How many of you have ever made a mistake? I have. I'll probably make one tomorrow. I'm sure I made a couple today. I make mistakes and don't even realize I made a mistake. But when I do make mistakes, I want to be forgiven. I want to be asked for forgiveness and be forgiven and thus be able to move on from it. I want people to show me grace, so I've got to show them grace as well. We're to love in the same manner that we want to be loved. I love my wife, I love my daughter, I love my parents, I love my sister, I love my nieces, I love all my family, and I expect them to love me back in return. I cannot hold grudges. I've got to ask them to forgive me and love me in the same manner in which I forgive and love them. Do you see where I'm going here? Do you see the course I'm trying to take us on, the direction I'm trying to get us in on this message? After receiving gifts from God our Father, we should be willing to give good gifts to those around us. We're not to play God. I'm not saying that by no means. We can't play God. We don't have the ability. We're not omnipresent. We're not all-powerful. We're not all-knowing. We're not all-wise. But after receiving gifts from God, our Father, we should be willing to give good gifts to those around us. Because God forgives us, we should forgive others. Because God gives us grace, we should give grace to others. Because God gives us His love, because God is love, we should give others our love. There's a catch to this verse in verse 12. The first word there is therefore. And it sounds a little catchy, sounds a little cliche, but anytime you see the word therefore, you need to see what it is there for. Take a look at the context. We need to see what it's there for. And I had a gentleman that was probably a mentor in my walk, my Christian walk, really helped me to understand some things. He really taught me a lot about context, about reading God's word and putting things in context. He taught me, you've got to read a verse. When you read that verse, you've got to read the verse before it, read the verse after it, read the chapter, notice who the author is, who's he writing to, what's the historical situation going on, who's in charge, who's where. You got to look at the whole picture, the things in context. So the word therefore is there for us to take a look at the previous verses. It's speaking of verses 7 through 11. After those verses are spoken, the next word is therefore. We learn that God is a good Father who gives us good gifts. Therefore, we need to give good gifts. We should have a desire to treat others in the same manner that we want God to treat us. That brings us to the conclusion of the scripture, the verses I want us to look at tonight. And I want to draw it all together. How can we apply that to our personal lives today? It's one thing I love about our Sunday school lessons. Brother John has really taught me a lot in studying, and I have the privilege of teaching a Sunday school class here of the way he has our lessons laid out for us. He for those who don't know, he lays out the outline for the Sunday school teachers, and he has information there, and we're supposed to go in and make it our own, put our own, not put our own spin on it, but, you know, add to it and, you know, use it. But he starts off with the introduction, the heart of the message, then he brings it all together in a personal application. So how can we apply these six verses we've looked at tonight? Well, my question for you is, what are you seeking in life? Ask yourself that question. What are you seeking in life? What are you asking God for? Are you looking for good gifts from God our Father? My prayer is that you are. As a child of God, you should be asking God for things. Thanking God for things. We got Thanksgiving coming up in 2 days. What are you thankful for? Have you told God lately what you're thankful for? I will tell you what his best gift is. His best gift that he can give to anybody is eternal life. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? That's my prayer for you tonight. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can throw out everything I said to you tonight, because you're not going to understand it. You're not going to be able to apply it truly in your life. You may be a good moral person. You may live a good life. But you're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I've shared with some of y'all before my testimony. I'm not going into great detail with it, but when I was 10 years old, I made a profession of faith at Vacation Bible School at First Baptist Church downtown. I'm thankful that my parents had me in Sunday school. But I struggled with my salvation for many years. And then we went through a health scare with my wife 21 years ago. And it was at that time, season of my life, that I don't know whether God saved me in 2002 or whether he saved me back in 1987. I don't know. I know today that God saved me. I'm not one of those. I can't go to the exact day and time and tell you exactly when God saved my soul, but I know a season of my life when I recognized who God was. He was all-powerful, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But I share that with you tonight is that's the best gift I ever received. The best gift I ever received. But what did I have to do to receive that gift? I had to be accepting, had to be willing to accept that gift. And I'm thankful that he gave me that gift. My prayers for you too is the best gift you can ever ask for and receive is salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the best gift you will ever receive, best gift you will ever ask for. All you got to do is call upon his name, accept him as your Lord and Savior. This gift will guarantee you eternal life with Jesus Christ. You'll be able to spend eternity with him, and that's my prayer for you tonight. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. I want to thank you for saving my soul, Lord. I want to thank you for saving my family and family members I know that have a personal relationship with you, Lord. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here at Morningside Baptist Church, Lord. I pray that you'll allow us to be a tool in this community to reach the lost, Lord. We just built a nice building next door. We're going to have a dedication service for it next month. We're going to start using it within the next 10 days, Lord. Just pray that you'll allow us to use that as an outreach tool, not just so we can say we have a nice gymnasium, nice classroom space, Lord, but allow us to use it to glorify you and to reach a lost community, Lord. I pray for the different groups meeting on campus tonight, Lord. I pray that they'll have a blessed time tonight. I bless that you pray that you will continue to guide us and direct us. Pray for our pastor and those other members of our church who are traveling over this holiday season, Lord. Be with them. Bring us back safely on Sunday to study more of your word and to enjoy each other's fellowship. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen. We're about to have a time of invitation. Brother John's going to lead us in a hymn. I'll be down front if you have any business.